There it is. That is the tent in the wilderness, not the temple. And I told you they didn't have the temple in mind in Hebrews because the worship of the temple, just like the worship in churches, is corrupt. Turn on the television and look at any Christian television, and what you'll see is nothing but ploys for money. Snake oil salesman. Would you buy a used car from those guys? I've insulted used car salesmen. Same thing back. The temple worship was corrupt. So Paul in this book has chosen the tabernacle where Israel's worship was more pure at one time. We've been looking at that furniture. We looked at the altar of incense. We've looked at the ark. Show them the picture. I have a picture of the ark that I'd like you to see how beautiful. There is an actual very good representation of what the ark would have looked like. There are the poles. There are the angels with their wings spread out. But where are they looking? You can't see it too well because of the projection power. But the angels are looking what? Down at the what?
At the seat.
At the what? The lid. There is no word mercy seat. That's an interpretation. That is a lid. And guess what was placed on that lid for century after century after century? What? The high priest, and that's what we're going to look at today, would take his finger, dip it in blood. You know, the preachers in those days were nothing but butchers. I told this story, but I'm going to tell it again because it haunts me. I knew a guy that worked for Piggly Wiggly in the South when they didn't have packaged meat. You know, you go to the grocery store today and you get packaged meat. All the killing is sanitized out somewhere else. They package it. They kill the... Have you ever seen a real slaughter? They put these cows, probably because Jim's been in Georgia, they put the cows in this mechanism. It hits them in the head and all of the mess that makes as they're, you know, and this is what the priest did. And imagine the animals, the suffering, the teaching God's people that without the shedding of blood, there can be no cleansing of sin. And that priest would have to take something. I guess they get used to it. I guess doctors get used to what they have to do. But he'd have to take either his fingers and hyssop, which is a branch, and sprinkle the mercy seat, that gold, beautiful. Imagine what that would have looked like when it was first done. Can you imagine that? I know what some people would have said. It would have glistened because God gave all of those people that built it special ability. And I'll bet you when it shone in the sun and God's Shekinah glory stood over it, and yet on that lid would have been nothing but that something looked like a mass slaughter or murder. And it all was pointing toward what Jesus would do as our mercy seat, we found out last week, when the Bible says He is our propitiation. Theologians love to make fancy names and confuse everybody. You see the word propitiation, just think this. He's our mercy seat, our satisfaction. When the Father sees Jesus Christ in you, in Christ, if you are in Christ, it's just like Passover. When I see the blood, I will pasach. I will pass over you. If you're in Jesus, the Father doesn't see your sins.
Amen.
He sees Christ and what He did. And you stand with Christ, clothed in Christ's righteousness. Clothed with an account that Christ gives you that perfect righteousness. You don't have any, but guess what? When the Father looks at you, you have Christ's righteousness. How many of you would say, I'm pretty good? I have my own righteousness. No, you don't want that righteousness. Jesus gives us His righteousness. So we'd still like to continue. And we've looked at all of these things. And now we'd like to take a look at something in verse 6. Now, when these things have been thus prepared, what's that? All of the stuff we've been talking about in the tabernacle. The priests are continually entering the outer tabernacle. There's the outer tabernacle. It's not the Holy of Holies where the ark is, but it's that. Thank you, Earl. That they continually, guess what they were doing every day? What? That's the holy place. Yes. The inner one is the Holy of Holies. Well, that too, but that would cover it, but especially they were taking and they were every day they were ministering, changing the bread, making sure there was olive oil, making sure there was incense. But I'll tell you, there was one area, was the inner tabernacle, that they dare not enter but once a year, and that was the Holy of Holies, right there where the ark was in the Shekinah glory. And it says this: they were continually entering the outer tabernacle, performing divine worship. Can you imagine every day someone would bring a bull, a goat, an offering, and you, as the Levite, as the priest, would have to kill that animal and offer it on the altar. The blood, the agony, the pain of this was all showing people God hates sin. There must be death for sin. But it also pointed to the fact that God Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, would bear that punishment upon the cross. But into the second, verse 7, only the high priest enters. What's the second? The second is that room right there where the pointer is. You only went in there. Yes, ma'am. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, that's one thing I like Bible study, because Cheryl and everybody can yell at me and go, listen, you idiot, where are you? But when you get into a sermon, you know, you're supposed to, everybody, you know, it's the psychological operation they do on you. Everybody's supposed to just shut up, and then everybody's going, where is he at, man? I don't know where he's reading. What you need to know is nothing interrupts me. The only thing that would interrupt me if somebody walks in with a gun. I'm going out this side door. After that, you can say, hey, you idiot, where are you? That doesn't bother me and doesn't stop me. I cause myself to lose track of what I'm doing. You're not going to bother me. I'm in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Hebrews 9, 6 and 7. I apologize. Should I start over? But into the second, verse 7, only the high priest enters. Guess what? No one gets in to the inner sanctum where the ark was except one person, the high priest. And who was that high priest symbolizing? Jesus. He could only get into the very presence of God once a year. But you see, the analogy is that Jesus is right there right now for you, interceding before. That's why Hebrews 7:25. Cheryl, read Hebrews 7:25. You were falling asleep on me. Wanda just woke up, so I didn't call on her. Go ahead. There it is. He's in the Holy of Holies, in the real, where God's presence is, interceding for you right now. Have you ever thanked Jesus for that?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, you're interceding for me right now. Did you know that? God can do something that no superhuman, super cray computer can ever do. They can do millions of transactions, these cray computers. Jesus can beat a cray computer. He can intercede always, instantly, for every one of you in an intimate way that the Father can understand. Can you read that again? Hebrews 7:25. You know what's so sad? When clergy get a hold of that and religion gets a hold of that, guess what they tell you? Some bozo in a dark outfit with crosses jingling and jangling are the ones that have to make intercession for you. Or, she was a nice lady. Lady, I don't know why you put up with guys. Mary was a nice lady. Mary cannot get you in. As a matter of fact, Mary needed Jesus to intercede for her just as much. And they tell you, you got to go to the guy that has this weird hat and this fancy outfit on, and Protestants do it too, and it's a lie. Who always lives to intercede for you?
Jesus.
That's what the Bible says. But human tradition will tell you it has to be some other. Listen to me, Mary never got one person in. In all this time, they've been praying for her. It never says in the New Testament that Mary is a mediatrix. It never says that she intercedes in the Bible. It says she's a nice lady. John took care of her. She died in Jerusalem before the walls fell at the Roman invasion. And she never once got anybody in. And you do not turn to Mary. She can't hear you. But it says, He always lives to make intercession. What this all was pointing toward, and we're going to look at the big thing in Jewish religious year this morning, it is this all points to what Jesus would do. As a matter of fact, I just want to read one thing before we go on. Let's see. Who can I pick on this morning? Wanda, thank you. Wanda, read 1 Timothy 2, 5. 1 Timothy 2, 5. Everybody turn there just as we go to the Day of Atonement. 1 Timothy 2, 5. Whoa! If you add Mary to that, how many mediators do you have? You have two. How good are you at simple math? How many mediators are there?
One.
Who is that?
Jesus Christ.
You know why it says the man Christ Jesus? Do you know why it says that? Well, it says He's God too in that verse. But you know why it says that? As a man, He understands the weakness of humanity. You are not going to be scolded. You are going to be helped.
Amen.
Because He partook of the human condition. There is how many mediators between God and man?
One.
Now, the Bible says that. What do clergy tell you? Clergy tell you you got to have someone else. You see, that's a trick of Satan. They want you to go to the wrong guy. You ever go to a place where you have a complaint and you get some low-level person, I got a complaint, it gets nowhere. Tell you what, you want to get something done? Call the person that's in charge. Mary can't hear you. She's never heard one person. There is one mediator. Now, let's get into the Hebrews chapter. Hebrews. In this chapter, chapter 9, and it says this, but the second, that is the Holy of Holies, the high priest enters once a year. And he wouldn't dare enter without taking blood, which he had to offer for himself. Why would he have to offer blood for himself? Because he was a sinner too. But Jesus didn't have to offer blood for himself. He was without sin, yet fully human. And He offers it for the sins of people. And then notice what it says. Committed in what? Well, let's talk about the Day of Atonement. And let's look at how this went. So let's go to Leviticus. I want you to look at the word ignorance. See that there? What does your translation say? Sins committed in what? Unwillful sin. Do you know what sacrifice there was in the Old Testament for willful sin? Ready? No. Did I just hear what you... Now everybody's scared. See, if you want to be an old covenant person, the old covenant never covered sins done high-handedly. You know, literally, the word deliberate is in Hebrew is literally high-handed. Sins done high-handedly. Let me just show you some things the Day of Atonement on this. Let's first go to Leviticus chapter 4. Leviticus 4. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Leviticus 4:2, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, if a person unintentionally sins, that's without high hand. In any of the things which the Lord has commanded not to be done and commits any of them, if the anointed priest sins so as to bring guilt on the people, he shall bring a bull to the doorway. Look at verse 22 of Leviticus 4. When a leader sins, what? Let's go to 27. Now, if any of the common people sin, what? The Lord has commanded and becomes guilty. If his sins which he has committed is made known to him, then he shall bring for his offering a goat without defect for his sin which he has committed. But I want to show you Numbers 15. Turn to Numbers 15:27. So you want to be under the old covenant?
No.
Look at verse 15:27 of Numbers. If one person sins, what? Without high hand in the Hebrew. Then he shall offer a one-year-old female goat, and the priest shall make atonement, covering for him. When he goes astray, when he sins unintentionally, making atonement for him that he may be forgiven. You shall have only one law for him who does anything unintentionally for him, who is a native among the sons of Israel, and for the alien. But look at verse 30. But if the person does anything defiantly, with high hand, disregarding, whether he is a native or an alien, one that is blaspheming the Lord, and that person shall be cut off from his people. So the high-handed sin especially were for those people who disregarded God and said, I'm not going his direction anymore, is what he's talking about. The high-handed sin are those that rejected God. And guess what they did with people that were a part of the community of the Old Testament that sinned in rejection of God and blasphemed Him by rejecting Him? Guess what? He shall be cut off from His people. See, what did John say? Listen to me now. John said law came through what? But what came through Jesus? Grace and truth. See, Jesus took care of both. But in the old covenant, you mess and you depart and you blaspheme God. And there was no recourse but to get cut off from God's people. Let's talk about the Day of Atonement. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus chapter 16. This is the biggest day of the Jewish year religiously. It occurred in the month Tishri, which is September, October. So this September will be the high holy day of the Jewish nation. The only trouble is, we now know the truth. Do they have any sacrifice? Can any animal take away sacrifice? So they are without cleansing. This is the irony of what they did with Jesus. They have no means to atone. If they build a temple and they started offering animals, what does the book of Hebrews tell you about that? Ain't gonna do a thing. But on the month Tishri in September, they're going to celebrate this September. The Day of Atonement. You know how the Jewish people now say that they atone for their sins? See, they don't read the Old Testament anymore. If you wonder in Jewish evangelism why they don't get it, and well, I had a Jewish man look at me and says, I did not know that was in there, David. That's because they don't look in the Old Testament anymore. They look at their oral. By the way, if you were a Jew, I wouldn't want to look at the Old Testament anyway, because all it does is make you look bad. It does. You want one of the most anti-Semitic books in the whole world, it's the Old Testament. Why? Because God scolded His people left and right for what they did. Disobedient. That's a warning to us. Because Paul said in Romans 11, don't you look at that and be arrogant, because if God grafted you, goy, in, you Gentiles, do not be arrogant, but fear. Because we now know what Hebrews is saying. We have a better covenant. And those who leave a better covenant, guess what? Have a greater what? Judgment. They have no way of atoning. But here's what they say. We do good works. And if you do in your life 51% good works and you have 49% bad works. You ever seen Jerry Lewis on the telethon? Do you know why he does that? Because he's earning his way to be a good person that God will let him into heaven because he's good, done good works for the people with muscular dystrophy. That's why many of them will give to charity, because they're trying to get brownie points with God. Listen to me, you can't get any brownie points with God. Jesus is the only one that can intercede for you. But today, that's what Jewish theology teaches. You got to do, if you only do 50.01 good works, and you have 49.99999, you get in. The only trouble is, how do you keep track of that? Somebody tell me how you keep track of that. See, you can't do that, because you never know when you've crossed the line. And which good work do you think God is going to accept? You can't. But that's what they're into now. They want good works. But you have the intercessory ministry of Christ, which all of this pointed toward. He can save you because He's not keeping track of your good works. He's keeping track of you as His sheep. They will intercede every time you do sin. So it says on the Day of Atonement in September, here's what happens. The Lord said to Moses, tell your brother Aaron. That's why I would never wanted to have been Aaron. Can you imagine? You only go in that place once, and above that lid is the Shekinah glory of God floating there. And in those days, it was there. Now it was gone. Ezekiel said it left because the people sinned. But the Shekinah glory was there during the tabernacle. Can you imagine? You only go there once a year. And you've got to go behind that veil. And there is this brilliant glory cloud of God. And you got to stand before it. And I'm telling you, this Day of Atonement that we're going to be looking at was a pip to get ready for. Tell your brother Aaron, you shall not enter at any time through the holy place. Now listen to me. Under the old covenant, guess what? You can't enter but once a year, and it was only the high priest, and only he got to go in. Guess what? Through Jesus, you enter any time you want, the book of Hebrews is going to say. You'll be doing dishes, you can enter in. You'll be washing the car. You'll be arguing with your husband who deserves your brutality for what he does. You can come immediately to the throne of grace. I noticed all the ladies like that. The men are going, well, he's right about that. So, anytime. But listen, this is old covenant, all pointing to the new. Once a year, that was it. Inside the veil, before the mercy seat, which is on the ark, lest he what? Now, God is not arbitrary. God just doesn't strike people down. He wants to teach them that approaching Him as a holy God has to be done in the right way. Yes? What it's trying to do is teach these people that you need to approach God in one way and one way only. Guess what? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Now, that's what this is pointing toward. They didn't quite understand that, but we can look back on the basis of New Testament revelation. You can't go in under the old covenant, accept the high priest. Now we're going to find in the book of Hebrews, anytime you want. Free access because Jesus Christ, you stand clothed in His righteousness. That's why it's a much greater sin to back away from what Jesus has done than the old covenant. For I will appear in the cloud over the mercy seat. Can you imagine being that priest? As you walk in, we're going to talk more about this. And there it was. And there you saw God's presence right there. Now, I don't think Hollywood, in all the special effects, could ever come close to the awe that this would have been. Aaron had to stand right there. And that would have been, I tell you, I would have had the bowls of blood. They would have been spilling all over the place as I was on, not shaking like this. That would have been me. Aaron shall enter the holy place with this, with a bull for a sin offering. He had to have blood. He had to prepare meticulously. He shall put on the holy linen tunic. And the linen undergarments. Do you think God wanted them to dress up? This would have been, I want to look at this. We're going to take next Sunday too for this, but do you think God wanted the high priest to look like this just because he likes to look at in outfits? We're going to look at this. He had on white garments, a hat and this beautiful breastplate, and he was dressed in with blue gems. Listen, God is not teaching that He likes color. He's teaching that if you are going to approach Me, you've got to have something unique and special. Guess what in the New Covenant the unique and only thing is that God, it's the clothing of Jesus. This is what this is pointing toward. That's how you come in. But here it says, He shall put on the holy linen tunic, and the linen undergarments shall be next to His body, and He shall be girded with linen sash, and attired with linen turban. Then He shall bathe His body in water, and put them on. Now let's go with what He looked like on the doors. Exodus 28. And this is where we're going to have to stop, but this is a great day. Exodus 28, 34. Exodus 28, 34. This is what the garment looked like. God is not saying, I like color. He's saying that anybody that approaches Me will be dressed in a certain way. And that dress today, the reality of it is you have to be dressed with Jesus' righteousness. Amen. Which is beautiful. This all pointed symbolically toward this. Now look what it says in verse 31, Exodus 28. And you shall make the robe of the ephod all light blue. Wonder what that light blue looked like. I don't know. Don't know. And there shall be an opening at the top in the middle of it. And I guess he slipped it over. Around its opening shall be a binding of woven work. The opening of the coat of the male, that it may not be torn. So apparently there may have been steel. I don't know. Or some type of clothing that he wore. And you shall make it on its... on its hem, pomegranates. Do you like pomegranate? You know, some of the best healthful things they're finding out is pomegranate juice. You want to lower your cholesterol? You want the best antioxidants? Go to Costco and buy the pomegranate juice. Trust me on that. But I don't think that's what God had in mind here. He just wanted to show uniqueness in entering into His presence. Of blue and purple and scarlet all around its hem, and bells of gold between them all around. Why would you want bells of gold? Because I'll tell you something. Nadab and Abihu enter with strange fire, as we saw one week, and you hear them tinkling in there, you know they're moving. They don't approach God with the right bang. If you don't hear any bells, how are you going to get them out? Well, that's what they started doing. They put a rope around the ankle because you've got to haul the body out. That means this. You think God's arbitrary and just striking people? No. How do you approach God? You can't do it through strange fire. You got to do it through Jesus. Listen to me. Somebody tell you, you have to have intercession through anybody but Jesus. And the Old Testament is stunningly saying, no, That's what it was pointing to. All of this showed exact preparation in a certain way, and that's why Jesus said, I am the way. You have to clothe yourself with Christ. Amen. Here it goes. A golden bell and pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate all around the hem. And it shall be on Aaron when he ministers, and its tinkling may be heard when he enters. So guess what they did on the Day of Atonement when we get there? Aaron would be dressed in his blue outfit, and he had this ephod of all these beautiful precious stones, and they would sit there, all of them, and it would get real quiet. And they'd be listening as he walked. He rustled, probably, would be my guess. I mean, you dressed in that kind of outfit, you're going to make... And they would listen, and you could probably just hear the silent wind as they listened. Is he still moving in the presence of God? That's why when you think of the theology of, Lord, give me five. Or, hey, God is my homeboy. I know what they mean by that, but listen to me. You approach God, you better do it in the right way. You better do it in the right way. And you shall listen. And it's tinkling. Ting, ting, tingling, ling, ling. He's still moving. When he enters and leaves the holy place before the Lord, that he may not what? You know, they had the greatest retirement for priests. Do it right, you'll live. Do it wrong, and you won't need a retirement. And you shall also make a plate of pure gold, and shall engrave on it, like the engravings of seal. And this plate of pure gold said, Holy to the Lord. And you shall fasten it on a blue cord, and it shall be on the turban. So up here on his turban, he had this beautiful gold plate that said, set apart. Because that's what sanctify means. Set apart to God. Holy. Unique. See, it's all pointing to the fact, without, listen to me, do you know what Hebrews is going to say in Hebrews 13? Without the sanctification, no one can see God. Go to Hebrews 13 real quick. There's so much of this that fits in the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is a book that has been greatly neglected. Hebrews 13, 12, 14. Let's see. Who can I pick on? Paul Lotz. 12:14.
12:14. Pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord.
Guess what? That plate on his turban was pointing to this. You need to be set apart. How do you get set apart to God? By being in Christ, who is our sanctification. There was that gold plate. Holy, kadosh, I think the Hebrew term is. My Hebrew is not that good, my Greek. I'm a Greek guy in seminary. Kadosh. Separate. Well, we've come to the... We will look at the Day of Atonement and what they went through next week.
Amen.
And how all of that pointed. You dare not enter into God's presence apart from special preparation. And the only one that can do that ain't Mary. It's Jesus who alone makes intercession.